Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. I'm Shay Northrup.
And I'm Jonathan Charney.
And today we're going to talk more about Samsung. We're going to talk about some new robots. And we're also going to talk about a drone giving a haircut.
So we're going to jump straight into it. We talked about last week how the Note 7, Samsung's flagship phone, was having some issues still. And Samsung has done something unprecedented far as technology companies. They have canceled the Note 7 completely.
It's actually interesting you mention that, because a majority of airliners have now banned the Note 7 from their flight.
So there's a lot of reports about how a lot of airlines, corporations are actually telling people you cannot take this on the flights, period. Now, this whole thing started in August with exploding cell phones. There's been over 92 reports of the Note 7 batteries overheating in the United States, with 26 reported burns, 55 reports of property damage, according to information posted by the United States Census Bureau. Now, we originally talked about how Shay and I both think this is more than a battery problem. We reported
Definitely.
We reported last week how they basically fixed the battery. The problem they thought what it was is with the positive negative on the batteries. Now, apparently what's happened, since the new ones have been exploding, Samsung went into overdrive and basically told all the engineers, you're going to figure out this problem now. And then you hear later, actually it was later on Monday after we did the show, that they canceled the Note 7 completely.
So are they planning on doing any replacements, or are they just done?
My guess, by everything I've heard, they're done. There's just no more Note 7.
Well, I meant, like, are they going to come out with a Note 8, kind of like you suggested?
That's my guess. They're going to have to, because I think the Note 7, the name Note 7 is completely destroyed. They might even call it something different just because of everybody's worried about it exploding. I mean, this
right.
could cause damage to the line itself. Now, the most amazing thing is South Korea traded shares fell more than 8% in its biggest drop since 2008, knocking $17 billion off the company's market share. Strategy Analytics, a research firm, has estimated earlier that Samsung could lose more than $10 billion because of phone's problems.
What good timing for Apple, right?
See, the problem is apparently, and I don't have a whole lot of story, I couldn't find the story I was looking for. I ran across where the iPhone is having some issues like this, too.
Well, they're not exploding, though, are they?
The article I kind of glanced around was talking about how they've been catching fire, but my guess is not as much as the Samsung, because if it was actually hurting people or doing as much property damage, it would be in the news.
The good thing, I guess, is that the Samsung Galaxy Note hasn't killed anybody yet.
Totally, but they've done some damage.
Definitely.
The most amazing thing as of this, confidential reports have said that Samsung testers were unable to reproduce the explosion.
That's interesting.
So my guess, and this is a complete guess, that it's only certain phones within the line, that particular run.
Right.
So, you know, thousands of phones could be made within a certain run. So maybe it really is only, you know, say like 1 in 5.
Right.
But since they don't know what it is, they can't reproduce it, they don't know what exactly the problem is, they have to cancel it.
Now, is Samsung refunding the phones? Like, what do they plan on doing for repercussions?
They actually haven't said anything. I mean, the fact that they said, the fact that we're dealing with potentially a second recall on top of the first recall is not your normal, situation, indicative of at least ideal processes. A second recall. I mean, they haven't said anything about how they're going to fix it. My guess is what's going to happen is they're going to have to. They're going to get probably some sort of lawsuit. They're going to be some sort of payout. People are getting money back.
Right. Either money back or, hey, here's a Galaxy instead.
The question is, what is Apple going to do with this? Because realistically, Samsung Galaxy line is pretty much the direct competitor,
at least
hardware-wise, of Apple. How...
Well, and what good timing for Apple, because now they're doing the unpopular thing of no more ports or holes or headphone jacks, and what a good time for there to be no competitor.
Yeah, I mean, this Apple couldn't have done this, couldn't have better timing if they actually sabotaged the phones themselves.
Yeah, there's a thought.
Wow. I have read, there's a few things I've read about how because of the Note 7's being canceled, the Galaxy S7 line is getting some of the software that was designed specifically for the Note 7. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how exactly that's going to work with a smaller screen that's on the 7, unlike the Note. I don't know. I'm really interested to see exactly how this is going to turn out for them. My guess is their shares are going to continue to drop. I think they're going to have to drop the Note entirely.
They might have to drop the Note, but I definitely think Samsung is going to bounce back from this.
Oh, they will. I just think what's going to happen, instead of the Note, they're going to call it something else. You know, they're going to...
Right.
Just because with nobody's going to trust the phone. I mean, you're going to have it going, oh, that's a Note 8. It's not going to explode, is it? You know?
Right. Well, another thing that Samsung's doing is they're building the best mobile chips and lots of them. So Samsung claims that it is the only company ramping up production for these little tiny little powerful 10 nanometer chips. So they have officially come out and stated that they have begun producing the cutting edge nano chips in a great volume.
Are they an ARM processor?
Essentially what it does is it's designed for more circuits and processing cores so that you can squeeze into – it basically is so that you can squeeze things into a microprocessor given the size. So smaller space, more stuff and things that you're capable for.
So what type of processor is it? Is it like an x86? Is it an ARM-based or is it something else?
Essentially what these nanochips are supposed to do is make it to where you can squeeze more – microprocessors into a smaller size. So right now we can, like, for phones, I think the most you can get is like a quad core processor, if I'm not mistaken, but now you should be able to get like 6 or 7 cores in there as well. Like, I don't know if you've seen,
so
the AMD has, so
if
up
it's
to
a,
8.
So if basically it's a phone processor, it's most likely currently going to be ARM based then. That's what most cell phones use, like the Snapdragon processor,
right,
type of stuff.
So Samsung has officially said that they're going to release a device in early 2017. And just to give you kind of a bit of a comparison on other Android handsets that are coming out, you've got the Google Pixel and the Google Pixel XL, which uses a 14 nanometer chip. So
now, this device is not going to catch fire, is it?
Well, that's probably the plan. I think this is kind of Samsung trying to be like, hey, look, we're still doing things. We're still relevant. Don't forget about us.
And Samsung's a pretty big corporation, too. I mean, they do a lot of different things. Televisions, refrigerators. I mean,
televisions are probably their best.
They make everything. I just think right now with a news cycle, everybody's going to worry about, hey, this isn't going to catch fire. Wow. I'm really curious to see what everybody else is going to respond to. I mean, because like Apple specifically makes their own ARM-based chips. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do with that.
Yeah, and I think it'll also like bring prices down just a tad. You know what I mean?
That would be nice. The most amazing thing is how people don't realize the cost of cell phones. Because I think if you go with the top-of-the-line iPhone, I think it's near $1,000.
Yeah.
And so comparative prices, so with $1,000, you can buy an amazing laptop versus one little cell phone. A lot of companies nowadays, like AT&T...
You can buy like Alienware, I think, for $1,000.
Yeah, I think that's a middle-of-the-road Alienware, too.
Yeah.
So what they used to do back in the good old days, if you want to call them, is they would do 2-year contracts. You'd usually spend anywhere between $200 or $300 for the cost of the device, and you'd be locked in for them for 2 years. Now what they do is they make you pay for the phone over 18 or 24 months, so you never really see the total price of the device.
Right. Well, I'm not really a big fan of that kind of setup. I do where you buy the phone and then you pay for the service.
So more of like a straight talk, stuff like that, bring your own device type of thing.
Well, what's good about that too, I use Virgin Mobile, but I hear Boost Mobile and stuff like that's better. It's all the same, really. It's $40 a month for everything, and then you pay for the phone. So
Boost is based off of Sprint. Boost, what Boost does
so
give
is,
you.
Virgin.
Boost gives you unlimited data, but it's like I think it's anywhere between like $50 and $60, I thought.
Yeah, I think it's the same for Virgin. I know I go with their cheaper plan so because I don't use enough data.
Now, if anybody's wondering how they do that, they're actually called an MVNO, a mobile virtual network operator. More or less, they're leasing space on the towers in order to use it. Companies like Straight Talk use AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile. Boost uses Sprint. There's a bunch of these little companies around that use all the carriers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of AT&T, Verizon specifically because I can't normally afford spending $600 or $700 straight out for the phone, so I know the cost in the long run.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm a geek, so for me, I like that's the trade-off. I'm willing to spend more money so I can have the latest and greatest.
Right, and I don't really use a cell phone for my computing. I use a computer. So having a top-of-the-line cell phone is not a necessity for me. I don't really like cell phones.
So let's go to a break. Let's talk about the computing a little bit more before we jump into the next story.
Okay, sounds good.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be.
And welcome back. We're going to finish the tail end of our conversation from last segment. I was thinking, far as my computing, I do a lot on my cell phone, specifically a lot of reading, you know, Reddit, Facebook,
right,
stuff like that. Anything that actually requires some heavy duty stuff like video editing? No, I don't do video editing or photo manipulation on my cell phone. I can't get the fine tuning I like.
Ugh. Don't edit video on your cell phone.
I mean, it's perfect for some things, but if you want to do anything, I think, fancy or somewhat decent,
If you're doing Vine videos, then fine. But
yeah,
if you're doing like, you know, YouTube videos or anything else, get yourself a better program. At least Sony Vegas.
Yeah, I was going to say Sony Vegas is around $100. It's actually the one I started on. It's a very good basic video editor.
Even their trial's not bad.
It's worth a shot. I actually jumped from that into Premiere using lynda.com. So Sony Vegas gives you a great basic idea for a linear video editor.
Yeah, it's a good start. Especially if you want to upgrade from something like iMovie or what's the one on Windows? Windows Movie Maker?
Yeah, it's pretty much the next step in that.
Windows Movie Maker has gotten bad. Like, ever since the Windows 7, Windows Movie Maker is,
unusable. I never thought it was good to begin with. That's one of the reasons I switched to to Sony Vegas.
It's not good, but, like, if you're just doing little... If back when it was on XP... Just doing YouTube videos, it was fine.
Yeah, hand down, iMovie is better if you want to compare the two.
Oh, no, so no way. iMovie is the worst, man, because it...
See, I wish the iMovie was better compared to Movie Maker.
It's good if
now.
You want to add, like, special effects, but, like, the stuff, the loading in the background takes forever.
I've only used it a little bit.
Yeah, I've used it extensively.
So we're going to jump straight into the next story. A mind-control robotic hand allows a paralyzed man to feel. So basically what they did is they cut open a section of his head and put electrodes into his brain that correspond to his hand. Now, if I remember correctly, there's actually a video attached to this, if you guys can find it. It's pretty cool. This gentleman, I think, got in an accident and is quadriplegic, basically means he can't move at all. He's 100%
right,
wheelchair-bound. And so what they did is after implanting the hand inside Mr. Copeland's brain, they are bypassing his broken spinal cord, relaying electronic signals and govern movement and sensations to and from a robotic arm. So what they did is they basically put this, how do you say, it's like a connection to the back of the head.
Right.
So they physically, you know, like jack them in, as it were.
The plug them
into
the matrix.
Yeah, plug them in. Yeah, exactly. And so if the video has a robotic hand attached to some sort of arm, no pun intended, and it's near him, and you have a gentleman who is basically like touching the finger, each finger, you know, and the guy, yeah. The gentleman, Mr. Copeland, is actually naming, okay, this feels like a pinky, this feels like a thumb, ring finger, and it's pretty cool. This is a gentleman that has absolutely no movement.
Right.
And he's able to feel it. I mean, this is amazing
That's
to me.
That's crazy. That's great technology.
So the harness is brainwaves to power prosthesis is a hot field with the goal of giving disabled more independent movement and from artificial limbs. So this is literally just the next step.
Yeah. I mean, in the future, we'll be cyborgs, right?
Yeah. No, right? And this is actually, what was it? I was reading something the other day where they're actually looking to figure out how to bypass broken spinal cords by kind of hot wiring it, basically bridging the gap between the good parts.
Yeah, that's great.
And I personally have known quite a few people who've had spinal cord issues, and if this is something that actually have them a better life.
Well, this might even work for people with ALS.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah. So there are a couple of things that I'm curious about. It's like, say, how does somebody control it?
Right.
Are those feelings enough to actually create motor movement?
Well, this is, if we're able to do that, then I'm wondering if we'll be able to like replace muscles and that sort of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think the first thing we'd have to do with that is figure out how do you create artificial muscles.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is like, so we start here with the feeling, right? We start with the robotic arms and then we get to the point to where eventually we'll be able to almost replace anything.
Now, is this going to be like more like Doc Octopus? You're just going to have something that attaches to somebody's body that has extra arms they're going to be able to use?
See, and that's a good question.
This is a, you know, it's funny. The idea of, cyborgs, you know, when I was a kid was just that. It was science fiction. It was fantasy. And
right.
the closer you get to it, the more you're thinking, you know, wow, this is amazing. Next thing you know, they're going to have a guy with eight arms, or you're going to make people who are paralyzed walk. And it's great technology. My only question is, what's the drawback to it?
Drawbacks of needing to replace parts,
yeah, like
rusting, getting old.
How much maintenance is there going to be? Are they going to acquire, for example, in one of my favorite video games, Deus Ex, it's Mankind Divided. There's a special pill or injection people who have these prosthesis needs for the body doesn't reject it. Are they going to be on anti-rejection drugs like transplant
right.
patients?
Well, and are we going to have to worry? Like another thing, as always, we're going to have to worry about price. Like how much are these going to cost? What's the gap going to be?
I think it's the same way as normal. I think what it's going to be is this particular thing is going to be outrageously expensive. It's going to be a certain limited of people.
Right.
And I think as soon as breakthroughs are done where the materials and method is cheaper. And the other thing is this is brain surgery, literally. So this is major surgery.
Yeah. Well, my thing is that only, you know, the upper class are going to be able to afford this kind of thing.
I think upper class, or you have somebody who's, you know, willing to give it a try, like this gentleman.
Yeah. What country was this in, by the way?
The surgery was done in the University of Pittsburgh, so I'm assuming it's in the United States. The funniest thing is some of the articles I've read about it, they actually make a comparison to Luke Skywalker losing his hand.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it made me laugh.
All right. So another thing that's kind of cool that's going on right now is there is a robot that was built in the University of Tokyo that sweats to keep itself cool.
That's awesome.
So in the video itself, there is a robot. It's about 1.7 meters tall, and it does push-ups, and it does them for 11 minutes straight without putting too much strain on its motors because they invented a cooling system which kind of makes the robot sweat, so that way it keeps its engines cool.
Now, what type of fluid is it sweating? It's definitely not water because it would short-circuit it.
Well, that's just the thing. It's water.
Seriously?
It's seriously water. They're saying that the robot itself can run for half a day on a half cup of water.
Is it just straight tap water? Is it filtered water? Does it say anything particularly, or is it just...
No, it's just water. So it had part of its frame laser-centered with an aluminum powder. It's kind of like a technique similar to 3D printing. It allows the complex design to be created out of metal, so it allows the very structure of the frame to allow water to seep into specific areas, kind of like a sponge, so that way it keeps itself cool.
Wow. I'm just surprised it's just normal water, considering the minerals that are in normal tap water. So I'm surprised that wouldn't actually cause rust issues along with frying the electronics. That's amazing, by the way.
So Toyotaka Kozuki, sorry if I mispronounced his name, I'm horrible with names, says that usually the frame of a robot is only used to support forces. Our concept was adding more functions to the frame, using it to transfer water, release heat at the same time. Support for
see that's
horses.
Ingenious. It's like the first time I heard there is a motorcycle company that was using part of the frame for the fuel tank. So this is another great use of something that's already there.
Yeah, and I'm kind of wondering what they can use this sort of sweating idea for in the future. Like we've got computers that can be completely submerged and use what is it?
It's like mineral water. It's mineral fluid. It's something like that. It's pretty much non-conductive fluid.
Right. And as long as you don't have moving parts, your computer is basically waterproof anyway. I wouldn't put it to the test, but I've seen fish tank computers. Now, I'm wondering if this is something we can add to our computers in the future, robots in the future.
Robots, definitely. I think what this is going to be something for like Cray computers. I could see supercomputers doing this, you know, along with being water cooled of having certain parts that have sweating on it. I don't see anybody's home computer doing it just because, honestly, it sounds like a mess.
Yeah, a bit of a mess. And then we already have some pretty cool water cooling systems. But I think that this could be a cool...
I could also, oddly enough, see it on ships.
Yeah.
I could see it on things like not exactly robotic, but something where this idea could be used for in the future. So I can totally see this being used all over. Now, unfortunately, this segment has come to the end. So catch us on the break when we talk about drones giving you a shave.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
So here on the show, we've talked extensively about drones in the past. Drones are kind of one of those things that have kind of become kind of would you say a gimmick?
I'd say a gimmick and ubiquitous to everyday life.
Yeah, I mean, people use them for, like, you know, espionage. People use them for, you know, just for fun. People use them for filmmaking. And they actually make, like rounds to take them out of the sky. Like, have you seen those? Yeah.
I've seen the joke. Almost anything will take it down.
It's a legit thing. They make these loads that have these strings in between, and it wraps around the drone and takes it down.
I'm totally buying some drone loads if I can find them.
They're pretty expensive, but they make them in a 12 gauge, and then the 40 millimeter grenade launcher.
Don't get me wrong, I would never use it, but the fact I could say I own 12 gauge drone loads, it's something of pride.
Now, one of the more stupid things that drones have been used for is apparently. YouTube star Roman Atwood has equipped his drone with an electric razor and used it to cut his friend's hair.
By the way, that's a very trusting friend. Hey, let me attach this electric razor to my drone that I can almost fly and shave your head with it.
And by haircut, I mean it just literally cut a patch of hair out of his head. Like, it didn't even... So what he does is he goes and... puts a 1-inch gauge on the electric razor,
okay, so
it's
that,
not going to hurt it.
Yeah, so he put that 1-inch guard on it.
And so he's flying it around and trying to,
Pretty much he's doing bombing runs over his head with a razor.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
So it reminds me, I don't know how many people are here as old as I am who are listening, but there's a Tex Avery cartoon, if I remember correctly. It was about gadgets or the house of the future. No, cars of the future. And that was one of the gimmick of having this car that would shave, you know, give you a shave.
Yeah, so I don't understand how this got so viral, because it's a viral video that was released on October 13th. And I don't know how people started to watch this, because like it's like a 20-minute video and only like the middle portion is the haircut.
Well, I can understand how. It's because people are really into drones and just into to see what people can do with it. This is about as gimmicky as Pizza Hut and Amazon saying, we're going to deliver to your house via drones.
I feel like this was just done to get some like YouTube notoriety.
Totally. And by the way, nobody's going to do it in my neck of the woods because somebody's going to shoot it out of the sky.
So just a note, if you guys do want to go see it, the haircut doesn't start until the 7:40 mark.
Oh, my God. And it's a 10-minute video?
No, it's a 20-minute video.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's a bad video.
Is it a lot of supposition there explaining what they're going to do, or is it a lot of attempts of him trying to hit his friend's head with a drone?
No, there's a big part in the beginning where, like, there's a bunch of kids and dogs playing in a ball pit inside their house, and then it goes to, like, them sitting down with, like, there's a bunch of random stuff. And then, like, there's some lady that comes over and's just like, we were just looking at your mouth the entire time. And honestly,
they should have called this non sequitur.
Yeah, it's just a waste of time. I just think it's interesting that, like, now we're at a point to where people are using drones for the stupidest things. Like, this is probably the stupidest thing I could ever imagine anybody using a drone for.
You know, I'll definitely give it to you on that. I did see something in an anime I was watching yesterday that I thought was interesting. And it's totally practical now. What they did is they attached a camera and a microphone and a speaker to it. Mm-hmm. And so this would be like for SWAT teams, for example. And you would fly over to the person. You could communicate that way.
Interesting. I think I've actually seen that in an anime, too.
And if they're doing an anime, there's got to be a real-world example of this. So I was thinking, hey, that's a great idea, you know? Especially in a hostage environment, you get the good look and you can communicate.
So the Phantom drone itself runs for about $500.
Is it the DJI?
The DJI Phantom 3 runs for $500. The DJI Phantom 4 Advanced runs for roughly $1,300, and that's a kit.
So it's funny. My dad actually has the Phantom 3, and the control interface that has, you know, the standard two-button joystick, but the control interface for itself is actually using, at least his version, uses an iPad mini.
Yeah, a lot of drones and actually a lot of cameras now you can run straight from a iPad or tablet of some sort.
And at first I thought, okay, this is super gimmicky, but I like it better than using the goggles.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically because this also gives you a lot of readouts. The DJI, for example, also can be controlled via GPS. You can actually make markers and have it fly to it. There's auto landing features. There's a bunch of neat stuff attached to it. By the way, I do recommend if you buy a drone, buy extra rotors. Matter of fact, buy like a giant pack of them because you're going to crash the thing if you got to fly it.
Well, they make a little
surround. Yeah, a shroud.
They make like a little thing for cameras nowadays that goes on top. It's basically a compressor. And so what it does is it takes the video and transcodes it into a different format.
Oh,
so you can actually get 4K video on something that isn't 4K.
That's the funny you talk about that. The DJI drone that my dad has actually has the camera mode attached to it.
Yeah.
Has a 4K camera on it.
So
using, by the way, a micro SD card.
These devices that go on top of the camera, I'm not sure exactly what they're called. They're different brands and stuff like that. So like I think...
Do they live stream it, or is it just compressing it?
It just goes from the camera through HDMI usually HDMI into the machine, and then it captures it in 4K. Now, what you can do with that is you can use an iPad or phone to do it. So, like, there was a very intimate scene that they were shooting on a set I was on, and so it was just the director in the room. And then the actors. And so the director would, you know, call in on a walkie-talkie or whatever and be like, okay, I need go ahead and record. And then the DP was just like standing outside with the iPad.
Now, is this just capturing and transcoding, or is it recording, transcoding it, and then...
Oh, you can adjust the aperture. You can adjust the shutter speed. You can adjust all that. He goes outside and he's like, hey, I'm recording right now.
So basically, this is connected to the camera, to the box, and the box is capturing that.
Right.
And then it sends everything. That's cool. So
and you can, and so you control it through the iPad via like Bluetooth or Wi-Fi.
Oh, wow. So is this, do you need a special camera that allows a control interface like that?
What they were using was a C100, and I've seen it been used on C300s, even an FS700. I've seen been used on a lot of different things.
See, that's cool. I didn't know that existed. I know there's a live stream box I always wanted. Pretty much what it is you connect the video output of your camera to it, and it allows you to stream live via your cell phone or LTE, which is something I was always vying for when I was doing a lot of CES and trade show stuff.
Yeah, Blackmagic makes a lot of that kind of stuff.
We're going to have to do more camera stuff or audio stuff.
Yeah, we might have to do that next week.
Because Blackmagic has some very fun stuff.
Blackmagic, I'm not a big fan of their camera line. I don't like the way it looks, but they definitely make a lot of really affordable equipment. It's really for the working man.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. The other thing I've seen, and I haven't held a lot of Blackmagic stuff, is the build quality on some of the stuff I've heard sometime because of the price can be questionable.
They're usually pretty quick and responsive if you want a refund or if you want it fixed. Like, they usually do a pretty good job getting back to you on that.
See, that's really cool. We're going to have to do something where we talk about maybe our favorite mics and just kind of go a little bit, you know, geeking out a little bit on camera stuff.
Definitely. And it looks like we're coming up on the end of the show. Well, you can find us on Stitcher, SoundCloud. You can find us on Google Play. And we are on Facebook and Twitter. So please follow us and let us know what you think of the show.
And for Jonathan Charney
and Shay Northrup,
as always, thank you for listening.
See you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.